At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Well, Ian, it is great to have you here on the Comedy Store podcast.
Yeah,
it's my Ian pleasure. Edwards.
My pleasure to start the thing with a bang, you know what I'm
saying? Well, I was excited we weren't going to get interrupted by Pauly, but then we had some
seat right across.
Yeah, you did. It was like you sat to have a stare down with him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was thinking of inviting Bobby Lee on the podcast, and we have some old beefs. Maybe
you
can sit in there. And
put it down.
Yeah, Rick can be like the ref. It'll be fine.
You and Bobby Lee have old beefs?
I mean, it's silly stuff, but it's stuff
this
never...
This is silly too.
That's what I mean. It's stuff never really discussed.
Right.
So.
And then
there's some people we want to, we know other people that have beefs and we want to put them on the podcast.
Yeah. I think we should just change the name to Comedy Beefs.
Yes, let's do it.
Because that would get us the
welcome,
ratings.
Y'all.
Thank you. Thank you, Ian. Yeah, we're trying to boost up our, you have a podcast as well, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah.
What's your podcast? Soccer?
Yeah, we talk
Something
about soccer
angry.
And the comic, but we get angry. I get angry.
Well, of course, anything with sports.
I'm doing it with Martin Harris and he makes me angry sometimes.
The Polish guy?
Yeah, the Polish guy.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Because he knows soccer.
Okay, that makes sense. He's foreign.
Yeah, he's foreign.
Yes, and plus none of us know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's awesome.
I played indoor soccer until I was 7.
Oh,
shut up, really?
And then after that, they let me play the other sports.
I didn't even think that was real. Like, I thought that was new. Indoor soccer, I mean.
Because we were doing that shit in the 80s in Kansas.
I did not know that because I went to my niece. She played like 8 games. There's this indoor soccer that it's like...
It's big in places where it's too cold outside
so
most of the year.
It's so expensive. Mm-hmm. These kids, there's so many kids and they... Put them in, put them out, move them around, go over here, play with this. Now you're on this field. Now,
little kid like, soccer is literally just about tiring
money.
Out children.
Oh,
like, I thought
it was money.
I think it's about tiring out children. And if you own like a little kid soccer business, you could make more money than a professional soccer player.
Probably.
Yeah.
By milking money out of parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Did you play as a kid?
Yeah, yeah. I played my entire life.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you still play?
No, I stopped. Okay. Got bad knees now.
America? Oh, I thought maybe it was just you were getting Americanized.
No,
I've seen them play in America. They're called Mexicans. And every field I run around, there's always a game going on.
Hilarious.
Which I love. I think it's great. You know, they just set up. They don't care if there's a football practice
for
the high school.
Do,
They don't give a shit. They're kicking soccer balls right in their face. But
taking over.
I was watching my brother Johnny... Who's an angry sports guy, like normal, whatever. But my
from
niece,
Philly, right?
Yeah.
Everybody from Philly, every male from Philly is an angry sports guy.
Yeah.
I'm a female.
They're still
from
mad
Philly,
Rocky lost
of,
in the first Rocky movie.
Yeah.
Why would you bring that up? Why would you bring that up?
What do you mean Apollo won by decision?
What?
It's like he clearly won.
They cheat. That's why. Like we still cheat.
It's funny as hell.
A boxing match where no one blocks the entire time.
Right.
It's just all offense.
But I witnessed something that made me laugh so hard. My brother yelling at my niece, who's 9 years old.
What?
He was like, it's your fault that they lost that game. I'm like, hey.
For real?
She ain't in your fantasy league? Like, that's a real person.
She lost
what
that soccer?
What position does she play? Yeah.
Oh, I don't even know. I don't know anything about soccer.
In the soccer game? Or
in the game.
His pro team?
No, in
her
in
little,
the
little,
soccer,
little girl
her
soccer,
little girl soccer
Damn.
Team.
Accusing
I don't even,
her of the,
wow.
that
loss is on you. He
literally
yelled at her on the sideline, like, you know it's your fault that they lost that game. And
I'd only
like,
be angry if
hey,
I bet
hey.
On it.
Yes. I was like, John, what are you doing? She's just playing. Like, this isn't, she's just trying
Damn.
To have fun. And he was like, whoa, she's got to learn. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm pretty sure I'm directly responsible for every loss on every little league team I ever played on. And I don't think I was ever on a winner.
Yeah.
Ever.
I mean, I guess they did that to me growing up, my brothers. Like, but my father did it. I probably feel really shit.
You're immune to it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, my father never came to the game.
Damn. Welcome back to Issues.
Well, at least you know what would have happened if he did. So
yeah,
guess. If it was soccer, he probably wouldn't have come. He may have disowned me.
Yeah.
It's weird. Or America.
Yeah, America.
Just keep shitting on soccer until Ian gets angry again.
Why would I get angry? Soccer is like the black people of sports in America.
Dude, I love black people.
That's not true. I love black people.
Yeah.
I can't agree with Paulie on black and Asian, but definitely black people.
Dude. That was my favorite part of when Paulie basically commandeered our attempt to interview Ian a few weeks ago. He's like, who are you interviewing? We're like, Ian Edwards. Dude, he's not here. Let's go right now and do it. He's like, what?
That's funny.
You want to be on our podcast?
Yeah, I didn't think he would. But anyway, he did. So wait, I know he brought you in here, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
That he felt the need to shit on your interview too. No, I'm kidding.
Sorry.
It's one of those things where I'm like, I can't believe that Paulie brought in Ian.
Such a great find.
Yeah. And did you not ever come to the store before that? Were you even LA based?
No, I lived in LA for a minute and I come to the store, but you know, in my arrogance, like I knew you had to like do a 3-minute audition.
Right.
And I didn't want to do that. And then when all of a sudden, for some reason, I wanted to get into the store.
Right.
And then me and Paulie had the same agent, and I ended up writing on something for Paulie.
Right.
And then we shot it in Miami. So then timing was really convenient. And then so he said he'd get me an audition. And somebody else, Nichelle from
Murdoch?
Yeah.
Our girl? Upstairs?
Yeah, from upstairs. Yeah. From what's her show? Crack 'em Up.
Crack 'em Up Thursday.
She was also trying to get me in. And I'd come a few times on a Monday. Like she'd spoken to Tommy. And so did Tripoli, too.
And
they got good people.
Yeah.
What year was that?
I can't remember now.
Wow, isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's weird.
It just goes away.
It just goes, yeah.
She's having like a 13 or something crazy that Damn. Long doing Crack 'em Up Thursdays.
That's
like,
crazy.
Wow.
That's
like
fast.
13 years or something. It's like, what?
That's
fast, man.
But okay, so go ahead, sir.
So then I was like, all right, so then I'd come a few Sundays and Mitzi hadn't shown up.
Yeah.
So then I would tell Tommy, put me on anyway. I just wanted to get used to the stage. So
right.
I'd do sets.
Smart.
And then and then I got involved with Paulie, and then Paulie was like, come this I think it was Sunday, she's gonna be there. And then she was. And then I did it, and then she passed me like right away.
Oh, that's wow.
So that was
so
cool.
One showcase.
Yeah, one
did
showcase.
Did you do 3 minutes?
Yeah, 3 minutes, yeah.
Full, okay, good.
Yeah.
Some people do like six. They're like, I don't give a shit. I'm stretching.
Here's the funny thing. Like when I lived in New York, like I'm kind of stupid. Like we did a showcase one time where a bunch of New York comics came to LA and we did the showcase in the OR, right? And this is before I moved here. We did the showcase in the OR and for like agents and stuff, right?
Okay. Industry showcase.
It was an industry showcase.
Oh, okay.
But just you know, they just brought people to see a bunch of New York comics.
Interesting.
And I remember now, you know, a woman met me after I got off stage, and she gave me a card and said, "You live in town?" And I said, "No." I said, "If you ever come back here, come to call me."
Okay.
And that was Mitzi, but I didn't even know.
She gave you a card?
Card or something, or made sure. Like, I had a really good showcase.
Okay.
Like, I was the first one. Like, two people had gone up and done bad, and then I went on stage. I screamed at the crowd.
Yes.
Whipped them into shape, and then I did good.
I mean, that's key to doing good in the OR.
Yeah.
It's basically you have to let them know you're in charge, and then you will fuck every one of them if they don't shut up.
Yeah, I did that.
Violently.
Yeah. I agree with that. What's wrong? You don't agree with that?
Oh, no, I have done that.
Cool.
So
what's the
problem? I didn't know it was protocol.
No, you got to do that.
Yeah, that's the standard move, I think.
It's so weird.
So then that was Mitzi, and then like years later, I moved. So I didn't follow up on it because I lived in New York. I wasn't thinking about the store like that. And then the years later.
And it couldn't have been the good years here at the store.
I don't remember.
It was probably, in the late 90s, early 2000s?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So, wow.
I showed up in 2002, and it was a ghost town.
It was a ghost town, yeah.
It was pretty brutal.
I'm trying to remember. We did do a lot of industry showcase things, but usually we did them in the main room.
Yeah.
And I just, Mitzi handing out a card, that's a freaking rarity.
Yeah.
I'd like never heard that.
She gave me a car, but she definitely spoke to me. Like I remember getting a few cars at night, so I just associated her with somebody getting a car.
Yeah, because she's
I just got
like
the creepy Cruella de Vil finger where I was like, oh shit, I'm gonna die.
Yeah, right here. Bring it over here.
Oh no, God.
Jesus, with her long nails.
I'm gonna be fired.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and also people go, oh, how do I know if I meet Mitzi? And then I'm like, you'll know. And then
yes, well, it's true.
They, like a waitress would always say to me, how do I know which one's Mitzi? I go, don't worry, you'll know. And then they come back like, why does it go? I just met Mitzi. Like scared shitless because she was so ruthless. So that's funny that you're just like, yeah, whatever, lady. Bye. Yeah. When people are just begging for her approval.
From New York.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you didn't care. You were doing I didn't know.
Spots, it doesn't matter because you're somewhere else.
Yeah,
so.
No, I mean, you came in with Polly-ish, kind of, but were the other comics, like, receptive to you? Did they, were they cool with you, or were they like, oh, here comes this motherfucker?
No, they were cool.
He's got an accent.
They were cool, and I remember, this. You know, it's funny, like, so I used to come, and then the OR is funny. Like, I've been doing comedy a while, and so you just figure, I just start doing
same
the room.
Same room, yeah.
And then, but no.
Yeah, it's a different beast.
It started, like, getting in my head, you know, the room started getting in my head and I had to figure it out,
right?
You know, and then sometimes I thought I had to figure it out for like a few weeks and then boom, it'd be gone, whatever. Just played tricks on me, you know. And then I remember one time I was in the back like working on my jokes. I had a joke book at the time.
Hell yeah. old school
like writing stuff. And then what's short homeboy's name that used to live with Davey?
PJ.
PJ came up to me, right?
Hey, asshole, you can't write in here.
He's like, yeah, he jumped on me like I was a joke thief. You can't write when other comics are on stage. Blah, 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 blah. I thought he saw me go up a few times.
Yeah.
That's in my head. I didn't know who the fuck PJ was.
Right.
So I just closed the book. All right. All right.
I love that you listened to him.
I was like, this is the authority. It wasn't that I was listening to him, but the perception. Just the perception.
Yeah, you don't want to be known as the guy.
As a joke thief, that I listened to.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
And very clearly, I'm guaranteed there was a quality comedian on stage that you were definitely lifting premises from.
But it does happen a lot. So we do have that rule that, I mean, I don't remember.
If Ian starts doing cerebral palsy jokes, we know he stole it from Davey.
But was he working here at the time? Did he have a
PJ?
Comic store shirt?
He must have been the doorman.
He did work here for a long time, yeah.
Yeah, he was working here and performing here.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Known to you as the short guy who lived with Davey.
I've just been getting bad at names recently.
I feel like, you.
I don't know what's going on, man. I can't say anybody's name.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I'm just losing.
Well, he's not around really anymore either. So right. It's out of sight, out of mind, I guess.
Yeah, he's been here all weekend. I'm like, oh, man, somebody must have said Beetlejuice because he is back. I was kidding. But yeah, but there was a rule for a while. Like we would tell people, hey, man, stop. Mm-hmm. Anybody you see writing in the showroom, just no, they can't write in the showroom.
Yeah,
so
I was
just
working on my shit. I didn't want to.
Yeah,
I was trying to.
I guess
put
I never
my best last minute foot forward.
Yeah. Procrastinating the joke writing.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that the OR, the main room, or
it was the OR?
OR, yeah. Did you get main room spots right away?
Can't remember.
Isn't that weird? Like, because somebody said the other night, we need main room comics. And then they were looking at the lineup they were looking to see who's around. And Danny Lucas said, so-and-so, he's not a main room comic. And I thought, wow, that's old school. Because Mitzi did have specific main room comics. And then OR. Now it's all kind of
mixed around.
But before it was a specific, you had to be a certain...
Oh yeah,
I don't know, level.
Yeah,
it was more her favorites, kind of variety.
It was her favorites or people that she basically felt were would be a touring headliner.
Yeah,
a lot of the times, what it seemed like. But then there was still a lot of like just old crap.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was more of a variety
like
show.
The main room
show
was
like crazy.
Was really crappy when I
started
here.
But it did make me
infuriating
that Danny Lucas said it like that. I'm like, dude, we're all main room comics now. Like now it's all just comics.
No,
that's funny. Like you figure, like I didn't even know that. I wasn't even aware of that.
Yeah, I don't think the kid was either, and he got offended when he heard that.
That's funny. It's funny that you get into the store, you think you're in, and then Mitzi had another level that you could get to.
Yeah,
there's levels to this shit. Like, oh, so I'm in at the store, but yeah, but are you a main room comic?
Right, right. Yeah.
What's that?
Well, you get Thursday OR. Yeah. Mid level,
shitty guy. Yeah. But the OR was her like babies, like her raw babies, kind of, you know, that were coming the hardest.
That was the college.
Yeah.
Right. And then the main room was more, I guess, just the showcase. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where you grow to. And yeah. I told the story, I think, last time where I my first main room spot ensured I didn't get another one for like 3 or 4 years. It was so bad. But it was like, I was so shocked that she gave me the main room spot. Uh-huh. I was like, oh my God, I've already moved up to main room comic.
Main room comic.
Then I just had to wait until Mitzi didn't come around anymore. And then I started getting main room spots again.
That's just what we wait for.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do, man.
Yeah, whatever it takes. Goes.
Your career outlasts her health.
Yeah.
You just made it to main room.
Weekend at Bernie's starring
gonna
Mitzi
out-
Shore.
She's going to outlive us all, honey.
Yeah, she might do that.
Her anger is going to keep
her. Her anger
is going to keep her alive.
That's funny.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever, when you perform, go on stage like high or drunk? Or you don't even, you don't even use that, nothing.
I shroom, but I don't do anything on stage.
Real life shroom. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And you've never gone on stage like that?
No.
It's scary.
I think Jimmy Schubert.
I'm a responsible drug addict.
Yeah.
Don't disrespect
you do
me.
Mushrooms in like the desert or something. You wouldn't dare do it on stage.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it on stage. Yeah, I wouldn't waste it on
you
stage.
You prefer to get lost.
I remember going down to La Jolla and being like, yeah, so how was shows last weekend? I think it was like I was down there for like a Wednesday show or something. Back when you just go down to get stage time because you didn't get any in L.A.
Who was that? Schubert?
This is me.
You?
I went down there. I'm like, how's the weekend? They're like, it was all right. I mean, it was interesting. Jimmy Schubert and Skippy Simon performed on mushrooms for the weekend show.
Jesus.
I remember being like, wow, that is something I could not do. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be able to handle it.
Don't you get like... I don't even know what happens.
Yeah, I mean...
That's how weird I am.
It affects different people
differently.
So if they took the right amount, it'd be okay. They'd probably just laugh a lot at their own shit. But
I remember Ari in the back of the OR one night, his nose actually got like bigger, which is weird.
That's strange.
That made him like more Jewish.
Ari Shaffir?
Ari Shaffir. And it got red and he was just laughing and it seemed like he was holding himself together.
Mm-hmm.
But he was watching, I think it was like open mic. And I remember being like, what the fuck is Ari doing?
Yeah.
And he was like,
yeah, you take the right amount.
Freaking out. And I was like, oh, God.
Oh, man.
But then he told me a couple days later that he had done mushrooms. And I was like, oh, because I couldn't imagine.
Why do you like comedy all of a sudden?
Why are you sitting in the potluck section watching comedy? Like, you know, the back of the
OR. So he looked scared, freaking out?
Yeah, or he was laughing, but like, it was like.
Yeah, you have no control.
And somebody took a picture of him because he looked so weird.
Yeah.
He looked odd. Like his
sensationalized.
I didn't realize it changes your actual physical.
It can,
because it could really dope you up.
And he probably, his capillaries were probably all expanded, just like drunks, I guess.
Yeah,
and their
nose
gets bright red.
Yeah, it was just weird. And then somebody took a picture of him and he used it as his profile for a long time.
Hilarious.
So I was like, what are you watching? it's not like he's there stealing premises or whatever. He's not going to remember
anything.
He was
writing
in
Ian's joke book.
Yes, obviously.
Drawing Hunter Thompson-esque photos. Gonzo comedy.
The PJ police.
Hey, asshole, no eating mushrooms in the back of the OR.
I love that. I love it. And he was one of those people, PJ, that would do his job. Like,
oh yeah.
If you told PJ, nobody sits here, nobody does, blah, 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 you give him, okay, I got it. Like, he went in like a cop.
He took things very seriously.
Management problem.
I remember in my extremely intoxicated alcoholic drug addict phase, which lasted about 7 years, the comedy store.
Wow.
It's respectful.
Yeah, thank you. One night I was in the back doing drunk Argus. If only I hadn't gotten diabetes, I would have rode that wave. I was in the back doing drunk Argus. That's basically
drunk
what
Argus.
I would do is
hilarious.
I would just get wasted and then I would spend 2 or 3 hours at the club, not as me. And it was just like I could just say the most inappropriate things, but as long as it was in Argus's voice, I didn't feel bad about it.
Right.
So I'm in the back one night and like Rogan, and this is before Rogan got banned for those years. And some other people are like, you know, encouraging the character. And I'm just like, oh, I got to keep taking it further. Everyone's loving it. And I just start grabbing bottles and glasses and just smashing them in the parking lot.
Oh, my God.
And PJ tried to attack me. He was so angry about
the glasses.
You don't do that, asshole.
And they had like Rogan had to hold him back.
Why does like, he we're have having the a good morals?
Time. PJ's
Why
so responsible when it comes to other people's shit, but his own life. Yeah. No,
absolutely not.
It's like he has the morals. Why?
Yeah. I don't know.
He's our guy.
There's got that goddamn cars around here. What are you gonna do? You're gonna have flat tires because you're an asshole.
Yeah. Pay him nothing and he'll do his job. Yeah, I wish you'd pay him nothing to take care of his life.
Yeah, he was
and
doing
see
like
how
coke
amazing he'd be.
Banging fat chicks in the bathroom. One time he
dude
had
the leader of the scum bunch.
Oh my God, he was the leader of the scum. He one time I'm waiting tables, I'm cleaning up, it was packed, busy night, running around, and I'm cleaning up, it's the end of the night, and PJ was the door guy in the main room. I think he was working that night. I don't remember. He was there. And I see this girl, and she's at the swing doors to the kitchen. And so this is covered her over her boobs and under her, you know, bottom, sure. if you will. And it looked like maybe she had, like, just a little dress on. But no, she didn't have any clothes on. And PJ had her in the bathroom and took her clothes because he thought that'd be funny.
That is funny.
Yeah, so she was...
larger girl?
Yeah, a little larger. She was holding herself. She's like, I don't know where my clothes went. And I was like, what?
So he smashed and then took her clothes?
Yes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't think he smashed. I think he just got
he got her naked.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she was in the...
So who takes off their clothes?
To give a blowjob.
In all bathrooms.
Yeah. She still had her underwear on? I don't know. But no bra. They were swinging. And it was just... I was like, oh my God. So I took her in the office. I'm like, PJ! And I'm looking for him. He's like, I threw him in the trash, asshole. I'm like, why am I the asshole? There's a naked woman in the...
Look, I go get her clothes, but Ingram's breaking glasses back. Ian's writing jokes down.
Yeah, exactly. I got a shit to
damn
do.
It, PJ.
It's like he's the only guy that could be the asshole. If anyway, so what, do you remember what your let's segue back? Yeah. I stink at this.
Way to take it back. Way to take it back.
Take
I saw where you're
back.
Going immediately.
No, because we do these questions and stuff. But like, do you remember the material you showcased with?
Yeah. It's some material I had about
you're still doing it.
Business cards and shit like that.
Classic business cards
from elderly
moving
women
to LA and shit like that.
Well, that's crazy. So you're doing your showcase set for us earlier. How about
so
that?
So weird.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
I don't know what's happening.
I don't know. All right. Ari just turned into Jesus.
Right. Well, he just got Mexican on us for reals. That's cool.
You're from Jamaica originally, correct?
Yeah. I was born in England.
Born in England?
Yeah, lived there till I was like 9 years old.
That's great. Earlier tonight, they said, who are you interviewing? And I said, Ian Edwards. And I said, doesn't he sound English just his name?
Oh, yeah.
So you were born in England?
Yeah.
It's very English.
But with Jamaican parents, you know?
Okay.
And then when we moved back to Jamaica when I was 9.
I didn't know until I went to Jamaica. So because I'm very anti-English. sorry. I'm just saying. They're
You love America.
Mean. They're mean. They're mean.
Who, English people?
Yes. They're
tough.
The
country. They're just very snobby.
Their history.
Right, yeah.
And
they colonized the entire world.
Jamaica.
Like one little island ran the fucking world. Those people were not nice people. They took shit.
So many people kicked them out.
They took
so
shit.
So many people. But how about just Jamaica? What they did to Jamaica? Like, I was flabbergasted.
What do you mean what they did to Jamaica?
Well, I mean, they had a war. Jamaica had to kick them out. And I was like,
we had an independence.
A revolutionary.
No, it wasn't. Jamaica didn't have a revolution.
Well.
You know, like just after, like maybe like the 50s or this,
but
the 50s or something, we had independence. Like they gave the country back, but they took all the money.
Everything out of
and
there.
Get the resources.
And left them for dead.
We have there's nothing left for you, so you can have it.
And then they left the governor general there.
Someone that keeps an eye, a watchful eye.
Yeah. Right. Isn't that crazy? Like, I just forget. I was like, whoa, they were even all the way here. Like, yeah. I just know that they're just I'm
I mean, they were in America. Maybe it's my Irish. They had America.
Yeah, it is. They had
it's the Irish rage.
It's my Irish rage. I know what they did to the Irish. It's disgusting. But I'm just saying what they did so much more hateful things than America has ever done. And
pretty much the same hateful things.
Yeah, you think that we're neck and neck?
I feel like
we learned from our parents.
Had a lot, parents.
Yeah, they had a lot longer time being ruthless.
That's what I mean.
But we just really upped the ante.
Yeah, yeah. America
in such a short time.
It was like, hey, listen, we can do this and we can do it better.
We can do it better, yeah.
And they're like,
they're getting better.
Hello.
Hello. So you lived in England till you were 9 and then went back to Jamaica to try to help out, clean shit up that those pricks.
Now we just kidding. I was just a kid, just moved there. Just went to school, had friends, lived life.
When did you move to America?
When I was 17, moved to New York.
With your parents or by yourself?
With my parents, yeah.
Okay. Nice.
And then the transition, in terms of like doing comedy, did you have to learn, I guess, the culture here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because like I know a lot of foreign comics have issue. Not, I mean, you got here when you're 17, so.
Right. And I wasn't a comic then, but even later on, it comedy's already, I don't want to say comedy is tough, but it is, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so comedy also teaches you a lot of things. You have to find out, it helps you find out who you are, who you're not. It also, there's a part of comedy when you're looking for material and you have like a history to go back to.
Right.
That
you're pulling from.
That you can pull from.
Yeah.
But where I could pull from, nobody could relate to it, so it wouldn't work.
That's what I guess. That's kind of what I mean. Like your childhood's going to be so different than, like Steve Simone's comedy,
right?
Yeah.
Is very reminiscent of most, growing up in America, right. But
mine wasn't.
Yeah.
So then even when I found a way to make that work, it would only work in front of certain audiences that were familiar with like Jamaican people and Jamaican background. So then that material could only take me so far. So then I had to just keep living, keep learning, keep absorbing, and then turning those things into stuff whenever I, you know, in the middle of like living and learning.
Right.
You know what I mean?
When, what age did you start doing comedy?
20s. Okay. In my 20s, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And in New York, obviously.
Yeah, in New York, yeah.
You guys moved to New York? Were you going to school in New York?
Went to high school. Yeah. Okay.
You a college guy?
Yeah, I went to college.
I'm proud of you. That's so foreign of you.
So foreign. Very foreign. Very foreign.
I went for like a week. No, I'm kidding. I did 2 years.
Did the smart thing.
Yeah, well. Yeah. No,
it's just a bill you're accumulating for no reason.
But no, that's smart. And then so you started in the city, obviously.
Started on Long Island and then went into the city and started. Like, once I got into one city club, I stopped doing comedy on Long Island.
Oh, yeah. That's what most people would do.
Yeah, because
I love Long Island, but.
Yeah, I love Long Island, but there were comics there that were better than me. And then, you know, I'd go into the city occasionally. But then when I was watching like all the TV shows with comics, I would see all these comics from Manhattan in the Manhattan clubs on TV.
Right.
And then I'd look at, like, the guy that would MC a mic that I was on was a paid comic around town.
Right.
And all Long Island clubs. But he wasn't on TV, and he never went into the city.
He might as well just be doing, he was the man in Omaha, Nebraska, basically.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So if you're on Long Island and you don't go in the city,
if you're that kiss close,
and you're that close, kiss TV goodbye. So then,
right.
As soon as I got into one club, like, I just kept going back to that one. It was a Boston comedy club, and I just kept on going back to that one club till I spread out to all the other city clubs.
Wow.
And then I got, you know, I was able to get on some TV shows and shit like that.
Who influenced you? Like, what comic? Or did you ever watch it growing up? I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember.
Dreams of Escaping England? Wait a minute. Sorry.
It's funny. Who influenced me? Like Bill Cosby?
This got uncomfortable real fast. I mean. No, he's brilliant.
Comic,
I'm never going to not say it wasn't funny.
Can't take that away.
Yeah, guy crushed it. Yeah.
Dude, we watched that religiously.
Yeah.
The Jimmy Kimmel joke on the Emmys this last weekend.
Oh, that was amazing.
About Bill Cosby was great.
Was hilarious.
I just wanted to see what you guys would do. And the look on people's faces was really like, Wait, Bill,
is this really
Bill Cosby's coming out?
Like, what do they think he's going to do?
Yeah, I knew it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know why people would. It's hilarious.
Because Hollywood, they fall for anything. Nobody said they're smart. But so
Cosby
Pryor.
And Pryor, yeah.
Cosby, Pryor. And then I just listened to just anybody. But those were the main ones, you know?
Yeah.
Richard Pryor. Like, Cosby taught me how to tell stories, which I still... Which I couldn't do back then. And Pryor was like, I was like, it just gave me a sense of like, how do you stay original?
Interesting.
And his thing was like, just talk about his life and stuff that happened to him.
If it's personal, then it's personal. Can't be.
Yeah, it's tough to duplicate.
Yeah.
Or tough to, you
right,
know.
Right.
So those, they just set foundations and principles, you know, gave me foundations and principles that I still keep today.
That's amazing. Because, yeah, you're right. Pryor, it's so personal when he would do his everything.
Right.
His, you know, his uncles, his characters, yeah. All his characters were so real.
Right.
That it was just fascinating to watch. And Bill Cosby, I mean, we watched that Bill Cosby himself, especially growing up in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. This is like hierarchy.
Yeah.
This is like, oh, this is our president, basically, right, of Philadelphia. In fact, we call it Philadelphia.
Vice President
They have
Rocky.
Stopped since calling it Philadelphia.
They have?
But yeah, they did. They And he owned or went to Temple University,
yeah, Temple.
Where I went.
He owned Temple University.
To be honest, I don't know. Like, when I was registering, I think I met a lot of his relatives, or at least they said they were.
Sure.
You know, I don't know if they're claiming
Irish people
to
who
fame.
Said they
yeah.
were
I'm
Bill
like,
Cosby's
hey,
relatives.
McShane, that's not. But yeah, he used to do the commercials for Temple University mm-hmm. in Philadelphia. I could have went anywhere, but I chose Temple. And I'd be like, hey, Bill Cosby went here. I'm on the right track.
Yeah, that's
hilarious.
I got this shit. But no, it didn't work out. I did go there for 2 years. Though.
2 years.
I went to the University of Kansas, and I was in the theater and film department.
Oh,
and
right.
They, nice. Which makes no sense because their program is clearly top notch.
What?
They, the theater program, I remember one of the things that they were talking about, like, we've had successful actors and stuff come through here. And I remember sitting there and the number one person they billed was like the ninth character on Animal House.
Oh,
it was like, wait,
that's a big one.
The guy who never was in anything else ever after that. That's the
but
claim
back
to
then.
Yeah,
that was a strong credit.
And Scott Bakula went here. It's like,
he
got Bakula.
I love Scott Bakula.
All right, well.
that's a big credit.
Quantum Leap,
yeah.
Killer.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure he still works.
I mean, he still works. I see him around.
I think he was in Candelabra.
I think he's on like a NCIS
Law
or
one of those.
CSI.
Yeah. He's on a billboard.
He's in like
he's
the
terrific.
New Orleans one. I think.
Oh, cool.
I think I can't remember.
See now you're all of a sudden you're
and I have lived up to
sound.
Nothing. I've never even come close to Bakula.
No, you just had a special come out. Was that a year
was
that, ago
was an
now?
Album. Yeah.
An album.
Yeah.
Okay, so
2 years, yeah.
That's the Conan O'Brien.
Conan
thing?
O'Brien album, yeah.
So how did that come about? Because I remember when I saw Conan, I think, tweeting about it, and I'm like,
that's pretty awesome.
Where did Ian, how did you how and did Conan that? Become? Because you were the first one that he released.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'd done the show a few times.
Okay.
And then I think maybe the third time I was doing it, like JP Buck said, hey man, you know, you know, thinking
you really
about doing an album, you know, like producing albums and want to know if you're interested. And it was funny, like me and my manager were looking at record labels and trying to get like a comedy album deal or do one with them. So I was like, shit, this guy's related to comedy. People trust his brand. And they're asking me a very minor little discussion, or if any.
Yeah.
Right.
And we was like, all right, we're in. And then just figured out when we're going to tape it. Said La Jolla at the Comedy Store, Great Acoustics.
Oh, that's great.
You know, we went down there one weekend, taped all four shows, and boom, album.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love the sound, the acoustics
in
La Jolla.
And somebody else had done an album there. And told
I think,
me that
Court McCowan and Steve Simone have done it
before,
even
those,
longer than them.
Maybe Jimmy Schubert,
maybe,
had done something.
Yeah,
and somebody
maybe.
Else.
I think that's yeah.
So I always remembered that from going there a long time ago. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I hope Schubert recorded the mushrooms.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
He would have, but he forgot. He was on mushrooms.
I didn't
push play. Too hard to remember.
Damn it, Jimmy. Yeah, I love Schubert. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And with Conan backing it is even better.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very impressed with you. I don't know.
Can I say, Eleanor? You know,
can't believe I haven't slept with you yet.
But me too. I'm like, Jesus.
Hello. I like she left yet out there. Like it's on the dial now.
Get around.
It's hilarious.
You can't. No more comics. I'm taking a break. So just kidding. We're just all in the same cesspool. So it's so sad.
It's hilarious.
Like, no. I feel like I missed out on. I never really got into the comic circle.
I know you dated brought, a you comic? Brought your girlfriend. Friend around,
yeah. I know.
Every day until you got married,
yep.
And then
no one
pregnant baby, boom.
No one busted my balls more than Ian, actually.
Really,
he'd always give us shit because we were always holding hands. And he'd be like, "Here you are, holding hands again." And I'd get all self-conscious, like when I see Ian, I'd be like, "Oh, my hand's sweaty." Don't want.
That's what he learned in England.
It was
rip people down.
Yeah, say, "Hey, why is that asshole smiling and holding that girl's hand?"
How dare he?
He'd give me the old Ari Manis treatment.
Yeah, I know. Just,
oh
I know.
My God. Is Ari still there?
No, he left.
Okay, no, he's
do
gone.
You really not like him?
He couldn't
no,
stand
I'm just
it.
He couldn't handle it. Looking at Ian after that.
Yeah.
Beat down that he verbal beat down.
He doesn't listen to the whole podcast anyway, so we can shit on him more. Because
oh, cool.
What he Perfect. Does is he sends it to me, and then I tell him what words to cut out and what words mm-hmm. not to.
Because nice.
Sometimes we do mm-hmm. say some shit that gets us in trouble. But
yeah,
that's what you should keep.
Well, no, I don't mean like if we're shitting on somebody. I mean like
we had an incident. We had Stanhope and his entourage of 940 people come down here, and they were. Hammered.
Right.
In fact, I talked to Stanhope last night, and he said he barely remembers. He said he had to listen to see how bad. And I go, don't worry, we edited most of it.
The next night, I saw him, and he was like, "Hey, I'm Doug." I'm like, "Yeah, you did. You did my podcast yesterday."
That's how fucked up.
He was like, "Did we do a podcast?" I'm like, "Yeah, we did."
Hilarious.
Well, hey, we want to do another one. I'm like, "I'm out."
Yeah, and he even said to me, "He goes, hey, how's the podcast? Are you still doing it?" I go, "Yeah." Yeah, yeah, we're doing. We're you know, but it's just amazing. And he's so busy, whatever. But it was they were so drunk. It was so that was the first.
He forgets me every time.
Every time,
yeah. So
really,
he had Mitch Hedberg's widow down here.
Oh wow,
and she was just she was plastered, and she started dropping N bombs. So.
Yeah, it was. So did he, and he started it as a goof. Shitting on Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah,
like
saying Mitch
was
racist.
Was racist. And then she just
started going
followed
off.
Up with it. That's and hilarious. I was like, oh my God.
I was looking around like, I'm pretty sure that we don't want this. That's part of the Comedy Store podcast brand.
No, let it all out. Fuck it.
Oh no, we cut it. He's got a show coming
There's
out.
There's no point in anything she was saying
not,
either.
Doug's not racist.
No, neither is she. Yeah. They were
she
just
got a,
being
she got an
stupid,
album coming out.
But it was just like.
yeah, exactly. She's not losing out on
it. They were both being like silly. And it was just so funny, and I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. We gotta fix this. But poor Ari, I tortured him with that because it was almost 2 hours long, a little over 2 hours.
It was.
Yeah.
At one point, I went and did a set and figured.
And then came back.
And Joe Rogan did a set. I don't think Joe came back, but.
He didn't.
Yeah. Rick came back.
I came back down. I was like, God damn it. This thing's still going on.
Did you come jump in and help her out, or you just went back upstairs?
No, I came down thinking like it was probably going to be wrapped up. Like that was the plan. I was like, we've been doing this for an hour and 20. I went and did a 15-minute set, probably ran the light to 20.
Just making sure you didn't have to
using
get back
all
involved.
Came back down, and I got down here, and it was Eleanor and Stanhope had swapped out five entourage members for five new entourage members. It was like Paul, what's his name?
Paul Provenza.
Provenza was here?
A bunch of other random people. I'm just like, who the fuck are
like
these
Provenza.
People? What happened to
I
those old people?
I love Provenza. Yeah, he's a good guy. It was funny. He was like, I didn't even know there was a basement. You know, because when I first started here, he was coming a little bit, not too much. He would do the benefits and stuff in the main room. But then he kind of
the benefits
just,
for all the dead comics that died on overdoses?
Pretty much.
One at a time.
That'll happen.
Again, those were the only shows that had people
I'm starting
at them
to
when
plan
I started
my benefit
here.
Now.
Yeah,
proud
smart.
Of you.
We should all start planning our comedy benefit here.
I've only seen a few good ones. Like usually people don't show up, so that's sad. So you should make friends. You have a lot of friends in comedy.
You know,
people like you.
Now I got to start making sure people do. I want to have a good benefit.
Yeah, I mean, you just shit on Ari, and he basically is going to put the benefit together.
Dude, Ian's such a nice guy. Yeah, you know, just he's really looking towards that benefit.
Yeah. Should have.
checked in
he
in
who
Paris.
Has the best benefit wins. That's all I, you know what I'm saying?
If it's based on kindness, Frazier Smith is going to have one hell of a benefit.
Oh, Bert Frazier's is going to be off
people
the
are
chain.
Be
where are you
snapping?
From? Oh, I love that city. But you just said you love that. I love all the cities. All the cities.
Hey, you were great tonight. I'm like, Frazier, I didn't go on.
I tried. Me and Danish O'Neill, at one point, our goal was to try and see if we get Frazier to talk shit about someone. Because it's just like, do you think he ever talks shit? It's like, I don't know. So we'd like go through and talk about bad comics. And he'd be like, oh, no, they're funny. It's like, damn it.
That guy's great.
So one day I was like, start doing it again where I'll just throw in the worst comics we could think out there. I'm like, dude, how bad are Jimmy and Joey? And in the most positive tone possible, he goes, oh, yeah, Jimmy and Joey, they are the worst. I just started dying. I'm like, that was such a positive,
so he is honest,
negative.
Yeah. But he does. In a positive way.
He does it with such great infliction.
No one is the worst like those guys, though. They are the best at being the worst.
Do you know who they are?
Yeah, I know Jimmy and Joey. I saw them when I used to stop by here.
Oh, that's right. Because how long have you been in L.A. doing stand-up?
Been here for a minute, man.
And okay, no one knows what a minute is.
Yeah, I know.
A minute, Jack.
You know, you got to figure that out.
Oh,
you know?
Come on, man.
Listen, honestly, he keeps his mystery.
That's black,
I know
that's
time.
Black math. A minute is black math. See, it's not my fault you didn't learn
math
black math at Temple.
Of course I did. I know it too well. That's
I went
my
all
problem.
The way, all the way through black calculus.
Yeah, all the way through black calculus. Yeah.
So I know a minute.
I did it in a minute, black calculus, quick.
That's smart.
I'm just like that. I move quick. So you're not going to tell us how long you've been in L.A., but that's fine. Do you
not like 15 years. 15 years.
Yeah, because it's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
And because I think... Yeah, you were here when I was waiting tables, huh?
Was I?
Maybe not.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, then.
He
but
was
I've
in
stopped
LA.
By the store.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
just probably wasn't a regular at that point.
Got it.
I did spots like on the Tuesday night shows, Fat Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Back when it was still Fat Tuesday.
I knew you when I was a waitress, or like at least knew of you, because when I saw, I was like, oh, I know that guy from Fat Tuesday, because I always had to work Fat Tuesday, because no one knows how to do black math better
it's
than
hilarious.
Me. So I was back.
Just keep it regular.
Okay.
Cool.
Act natural. Everybody act natural. He's not even listening.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about us. But yeah, oh, look how quick he put the headphones on to make sure we were talking about him.
It's so vain. It's turning facial red already.
Do you prefer performing for like a black audience, like Fat Tuesday, or do you not care? Was there a time where it switched?
No, I used to perform in front of all audiences. I used to do hipster crowds.
Oh, yeah. New York has
hair.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. And like main rooms, like
I guess if you're doing New York, it's a pretty diverse crowd.
New York is diverse, and I used to do Fat Tuesdays or black clubs like Comedy Union, but now I got so lazy and convenient, I just do the OR.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah, and then if I'm on the road, whoever comes out to see me on the road, then I do that.
Yeah.
And I do, you know.
It's true. You do get like spoiled.
Yeah.
With the OR, I don't know what it is.
And then I'll have to drive around from place. Like some places, their times.
Yeah.
Like they didn't have a time where you should show up. The show starts at 10.
Right. So just and get when you get here.
You
we'll
get
put
there
you
at
up,
10. Or, and then you get there and you find out you're on at 12.
You're 10th.
And I was like, this place has a time spot. And even if it's late, it's off.
It's
still
about 10
within
minutes.
Half 30 an
minutes.
Hour
yeah.
At least at the most. This the other place, it's a 2 hour, I don't know,
yeah.
period.
Oh,
so I'm just
going to
go to the
That's what I always hate about the improv. Here, 10:30 show, and then I get there, and the show actually starts at 11:15, and I'm seventh.
Oh, boy.
And it's like the three of those people do 8 minutes, and then one of them does 25, and I'm like, why am I now? I'm hanging out at a comedy club. I don't want to watch comedy.
But I do need to get back out to other rooms more, because I was more well-rounded.
Nice.
I like doing the little stinky rooms, kind of, if you will. Like, I wouldn't call them stinky rooms. Like, before, I used to do this place called Malo in Silver Lake with my friend Tammy Joe. And it was just a little taco bar, but the upstairs, she don't do it anymore, but upstairs it was kind of like the belly room. It was so much fun. Like, because it would get, it maybe sat 35 people, 40, but when it was packed, it was packed.
Oh,
and
damn.
It was like the lineups would be like me, Lori Kilmartin. Like, it was like people I respect. So I was like, oh shit, okay. You know, like Tammy tries to put on
a show.
Decent comics.
I stopped doing shows that aren't in comedy clubs about 7 years ago when I realized I could be like, oh, there's a show. It's at a bar in Pasadena, but it's awesome. And there's 150 people there every week. I'd be like, sweet, yeah, I'll do it. And I get up there. I don't know what happened, man. This is the first week.
Yeah.
And that every single time. So I knew as soon as someone was like, hey, you want to do my show? It's out in Corona. Great show. Corona. Be like, all Corona. Right, I'll go down there. And I get there and be three people. Yeah. Bummer, man.
Not if it's that far, but
yeah. Any place. It wouldn't. If it was in Hollywood, I guarantee you book me on your show. Room. It's dead.
Have you done the Viper Room? Yeah, I did the Viper Room. Tammy Joe's.
I didn't do it with Tammy Joe, but I did it with I think Molly Ash. Okay. And it was one of those nights, and she said it's usually packed this week.
Yeah, that's what happened when I did the Viper Room.
I was like,
Joe, yeah. That's with Tammy.
No. Oh. This was like 4 years ago, and it was I don't remember what I was gonna say rock comedy, but that was the Jay Davis thing. It was some sort of a rock themed comedy show.
I feel like, yeah,
and there was like maybe 9 people there, and it was awful. And I got the same spiel. Oh man, it's usually great. Sorry, you know, it's just probably with what I think they blamed it on a sports game that was completely irrelevant in Los Angeles.
Like soccer.
I don't think so.
Yeah, like soccer. The LA Galaxy, man. They just took all the Beckham. Crowd.
They all want to see Beckham's hair tonight. So I just had to stop.
Yeah.
I get it.
But like sometimes people hit me up on Facebook and say, I got a room and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm a comedy snob. And I make them describe the room.
Good for
and
you.
Tell me who's done it.
Yeah.
And it sounds like an asshole, but it's like I worked hard to just do rooms that are conducive to comedy, get into rooms.
Yeah.
Like, to get into this room, you know, you have to work to get into it and to stay in this room because there's lots of good comics coming here now.
Right.
So you got to keep your level of comedy up. So I don't want to go to shitty rooms. And once in a while it happens, but I still do a lot of rooms outside of the Comedy Store, but I do ask a lot of questions.
Good. As good you should. For you. Yeah.
The ones I've been getting recently are, we do a comedy show at in the backyard. It's out in
I've done back.
Eagle
some of those
Rock.
Some of those backyards. I think that one's a good show.
Ian loves the
you
backyard.
Know what's so
Eagle
weird?
Gig.
They sent me an email and they were like, Ian Edwards has been in my backyard. So
and now that
it.
We know he asked questions, it's got to be good. Yeah. Unfortunately, this is the last week at the Eagle Rock Backyard show. We booked Rick Ingram, so we lost all of our audience.
And it's hard for Rick to do crowd work on empty chairs. So
it is tough.
I did to give him.
It's a hot packed backyard.
I got Moses talked me into doing a show down in San Diego one time.
Moses?
Brian Moses, okay. Yeah. He was like, hey, it's like $300. Mm-hmm. You go down, you can headline, whatever. And it was right in downtown. It was before they had the two comedy clubs in downtown. Right. So it was basically the La Jolla Comedy Store and then this show that was going on. So I said, yeah, all right, I'll do it. $300, why not? It's like on a Wednesday or something.
Right.
So I drive down there. Same spiel, you know, it's always like 100 people. It's great. Crowds are awesome. Get down there. It's directly next to the San Diego Padres baseball stadium. And it's the third game of the season. And there is about 4 people.
Sports bar?
Yeah, sports bar. There's like 4 people there. You can actually hear the crowd from the Padres game.
Having fun.
Yeah, having a good time.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
You could hear fun outside of your show.
Yeah. Ryan Mervis was hosting this thing.
Oh, that's
and
even better.
He had just gotten back from 3 days of tripping balls at some music festival. And he was still wearing his full bear head spirit thing he wears. And he was like, hey, so thanks for coming down. Sorry, it's not a great crowd. And I'm just sitting there like, I just drove 3.5 hours.
Jesus.
Before 4 people. And he's like, good news is you can do as long as you want. Like, is that the good news? It doesn't seem like the good news.
Did you do an hour?
I probably did about 22 minutes of what he was hoping I'd do, at least 45.
Oh,
I did 22.
Then.
I'm like, look.
There's nobody here.
I can't talk to these 4 people anymore. I literally don't care about any of you beyond what I've already found out.
Oh,
and I'm not
God.
About ready to tell you guys about myself. So. Am I getting paid if I leave now? And he's like, yeah, we're all getting paid. I'm like, cool. And then I'm leaving.
Want to go to a Padres game? I hear it's great.
It sounds like they're crushing it over there.
Yeah, and they don't even have fans. That's how sad.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it
so
had to
really
be early. Early in the season.
Early in
people
the
are like,
season.
I'm excited for this. And they get there like, is this the San Diego Padres? What are we doing here?
I think I've done that bar.
Probably.
Yeah. With Mervis?
No, not with Mervis. I wouldn't do any comedy with Mervis. I'd do drugs with Mervis.
Yeah, he's great comedy. For doing drugs.
Yeah. No, Mervis is fine.
Mal Hall does a show down there. That's great.
I did a show with Mal down there. That was worth the drive. It was packed.
Well, he seems like a professional person. No,
that's good.
Nothing against Mervis. Yeah, that one was great. He seems more of a party guy.
I remember
seems like he's got. I got back.
That's kind of what I thought it was going to be because I'd done Mal's show before, and I was like, "All right, that one was fun. It's probably similar."
Right.
It was so bad. I got back. Moses was like, "Yeah, how was that show?" I'm like, "Well, I got paid, so it was fine, but you can guarantee I will never do another show at a restaurant that you try to book me on again."
It's funny, man. It's just like a lot of toss-up shows. You don't know. You just roll the dice shows we get invited to do.
Some of them are great, and some of them are horrendous. I've done a mix of both. And even in the A clubs, like if a show in the belly room, they're like, "Oh, everybody does my show," and you go up and there's fucking eight people. Right. Yeah. Like, fuck.
And even the ones that end up being great, you've been on the way there. I had such a terrible time in my mind on the way there. Even when it turns out great, it doesn't balance out how good it actually was with the time that I gave myself in my head getting there.
Yeah, just like, why am I doing this shit?
You just beat yourself up. Yeah. You've done belly room shows. You and Rogan were doing those half hours, which were killer in there. Yeah. That's such a good idea. Tripoli was talking about that. Like people, comics should take advantage of that belly room space and promote like longer sets.
Yeah.
Shit, why don't I just close down the belly room?
Well,
Rick Ingram tonight and the belly room's final show.
Yeah, maybe once they book you, Rick, it would close.
I've got at least six fans in the world. They'd all come.
What is the Comedy Store original room your favorite stage? Or you've performed everywhere. You've performed in other countries, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Millions.
Millions?
Millions of countries.
Millions
of
countries. Millions.
Do I look like Russell Peters?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just making shit up now.
Sounds good. But, I shouldn't shoot it down. These people don't know that's listening.
No, it's true, but you just were in Ireland.
You just gave me a good setup and I blew it.
Yeah, now that...
Millions.
Too honest.
Let's go back to that.
Too honest.
You know when you say you edit shit out? Yeah. Edit that out. Say this again.
Hell no. I went to Temple and I learned that there was millions of countries.
Yes.
No.
It's that Cosby education.
Did you ever perform in Jamaica?
In Jamaica, no.
Oh, okay, you haven't gone.
I did in Trinidad. That was
It was always my favorite country to root for in the Olympics because they'd have like three athletes: Trinidad and Tobago.
Trinidad and Tobago.
I love that they merge.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
I don't. It's one country, two countries.
I'm not
two
sure.
Two islands.
Two islands. Yeah. But they have a combined. They have a combined Olympic team. I respect that.
They're coming after America. They're teaming.
They got runners. They got a track team.
Yeah,
I think one of them won a gold.
Yeah, I mean,
and then this Olympics
was it
female.
Hard to perform there? I mean, like they get it.
They got it. They got it. Like I was talking about, I was doing Jamaican stuff at the time. They got it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like other countries are better than America in that they'll learn our culture before we learn theirs.
Because every country imports our culture.
Right.
You know, like, you go anywhere in the world. Yeah, yeah. I've been here long enough. I've earned it.
Look how angry. Yeah. I hate the English. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I've been here long enough. I earned it.
I agree. No, you're right. I'm just saying this is an odd, like, because we're so ignorant, kind of, America.
We just don't care.
Because we can afford to be.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows everything about us.
We think we're the best.
And they think we're the best. And they think we're the coolest.
Yeah.
So then everybody adjust to our style.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
so when we could go anywhere in the world and just do whatever.
But like, if I had to perform in Trinidad, I'd be not terrified. I'd be like, oh, they're not going to get me. They're not going to understand what it's like.
They'll get you.
Well, you say it like they'll get me.
They'll get you.
They're going to get you, Eleanor.
And then you did Ireland.
Yeah, this did the Vodafone Comedy Festival.
Wow.
In Dublin, it was dope.
Dublin. Yeah. This is something funny that happened on the patio the other night.
What?
Somebody, there's a Irish comic from, I think he's from Cork, Mark Hayes, very funny guy. You were talking to him about soccer. Nice looking guy. Almost looks like Chris D'Elia. Yeah.
I just thought he was a dude. Yeah. I didn't know he was a comic for real, for real.
No, for real, for real. He's a comic.
Right.
To be
honest,
he was
a dude.
It's
the biggest insult in the world.
I know, right? I just thought he was like a dude with good hair. Yeah.
That I mistake for D'Elia a few times and just started talking.
He so does we just look talk like Chris
about
a little
football.
Bit.
A little bit, a lot.
Yeah.
A little lot.
I don't know who he is.
The other day, Chris.
If you run into him,
you would
now,
think it was Chris.
You'll know exactly who we're talking to.
Okay.
They dress alike. And he looks like
hilarious. This is the same thing with that Jason Collins. Done. He has like a twin brother.
Yeah, he has a twin brother.
Was it? Oh, Jason Collins.
Yeah, and I didn't know for a long time. So one day I was talking to his brother, and I thought I was talking to him, and then...
And he don't tell you that.
Yeah, and then Jason walked up.
What an asshole.
I had a moment where I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, he could have told you. He knew who you... He knows who he thought you thought he was.
Exactly.
Oh, I break his balls about that all the time.
Yeah.
But what happened was there was these like three guys from Dublin... Mm-hmm. Hanging out on the patio, and they were in the main room, but they were outside smoking a cigarette, and they were like, you know, talking, and I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I get excited, like they're gonna take me home finally. I'm just kidding.
You're ours, Irish lass.
So I get excited just to hear, and so I was telling them, like, my family's from County of Mayo, most of them, and some Cork. So then Mark came up, and I go, hey Mark, say hi. You know, these guys are from Ireland. He goes, oh, yeah, what part? And they said Dublin. He goes, ah, you're basically English. And he walked away.
That's funny.
He's so
shitty Irish.
But he goes, Eleanor, you're more Irish than they are. And he just walked away. That's like, hilarious. I love him.
You say you're basically Irish.
I like
you're basically
inner,
English.
Yeah, I guess.
That's funny.
Inner Irish hatred
said that's
is
true.
Beautiful.
Yeah. The guys from Dublin were like, well, yeah, kind of. And I was like, oh, shit, it's real.
I love hate.
But I forget what my point was. Oh, because you got to perform in Ireland. Mm-hmm. Where else did you get to perform?
Did Australia this year, the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
That's fun.
Yeah,
did Where that. Do they do it? I did the casino there.
Casino?
I
know the
Royal
casino. I went
casino?
To the
ca- yes.
I went to the casino at night to watch soccer games.
Oh,
because it like
I was doing stand up
the time.
There.
But
no, I'm just kidding.
But you know, it's right there. You could walk over there.
Yeah, everything's pretty.
Yeah, everything's pretty there. Pretty much there. I forgot to town hall. I was in the town hall.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. Melbourne's awesome.
Yeah.
I'd like to go insult Australians.
They would love you.
They're a terrific group of people to
they
insult.
They take it. They take it.
Because none of them are respectable human beings in any way. And, but they're like cool about it. I don't know. Like
I'll tell you what they love.
I talk about it on stage now, but like. I've never once met an Australian person and been like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm a doctor. It's never that. None of them are doctors. It's always like, I'm a barista, but I got fired. Like, how are you unemployed from a shitty job? The whole continent.
Because the country takes care of their... Like, I had a joke about shitty jobs in Australia that didn't work.
Really?
And then I was looking at everybody and like, you don't have to tip the waitresses there because they make enough. And then if you don't have a job, you know, if you don't have a job, the government gives you money.
Right.
You know, like.
You pay enough in taxes that you take care of your people.
Yeah. So it's like people don't have to worry like how people worry here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like a few times I gave, when I first got there, I'd give homeless people money on the street with signs. And then I found out about how the government takes care of people. Like, what the fuck are these people doing on the street?
Yeah.
You have a, what do you mean you're homeless? They'll give you a place.
Yeah. Right? Really? Like, don't we do that
in
too?
Melbourne?
You're just giving them extra at that point. Extra. You're the Christmas bonus.
This is a ambitious homeless person here. Right, he wants to make extra money.
Wait, so they'll just, I mean, don't we do that too?
Not like that.
You mean not like that? Okay,
nah,
but
we don't give enough.
I know a shit ton of people that take advantage of the government and what they
well,
give.
Well, yeah, people say take advantage, but how much is $800 a month an advantage?
I mean is they're able to work. I come from a very strict Irish family. No, I come from a very strict Irish family. We were never on welfare of any kind, and my mom was a single mom of 10 children.
That's solid.
Yeah.
She should have took the money, though.
Yeah.
She should have.
Made life easier.
I used to refuse
unemployment.
She
made us start working immediately.
For the longest time, I was like, I won't accept unemployment because I don't want to be that guy. Right. And then one day, I filmed a couple commercials, and I actually got fired from my day job, and I was talking to Ari Shaffir about it, and he's like, so just file for unemployment. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. And he's like, why?
Yeah. You
like,
do pay for that one, at least.
I don't want to be...
It comes out of your check.
Yeah, I said, I don't want to be, you know, taking money from the government. And he's like, it's free money. And then I'm like...
It's not even free money.
And then he said,
it's
money
stupid.
You paid.
That's what
he
said. It's money you already put in there.
He said,
so that
not,
one's
it's not even
bad.
The government. It's the insurance from the companies that hired you.
Yeah.
That's who's paying it. And I'm like, oh. So then I filed, and I started getting... like $450 a week. I'm like, this is sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then the recession happened. And then after a certain point, they just started giving me all these extensions.
Extensions, yeah.
And oh, so yeah. Then I was just on unemployment for like 4 years, and I was making more on the unemployment checks than I had at my regular day job. And it was all because of the commercials that I had made.
Right.
But, because you were getting the most, the max.
Yeah, I was getting the max. And I was just like, this is sweet. I'm definitely not going back to work. And then I was like, oh, wait, I just became the problem. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. Free money. What do I care?
Oopsie. Freaking Ari. Ari should run for Congress.
don't you want free money?
Why would you take it? It's your money. You're an idiot. Take your money.
Yeah, it was, and I kept trying to call them, and they're like, you know, they put you on hold, and most of the time be like, I'm sorry. Yeah,
you couldn't get through.
Yeah, he couldn't get through. So then Ari came over one day. He was like, we'll both call.
No.
He was so set. He was going to come hang out at my apartment and call on a different phone. And so we sat there, and I'd probably called like 45 times. And Ari got there, and then he started calling, and like his third attempt went straight through to some person. I'm just like,
it's crazy.
This motherfucker's got... He's got all the moves.
Like, you could call him. Like, I used to do it, like, after a writing job.
Yeah.
You know, first I refused to do it. And I didn't do it after every writing job. But once in a while, I'd do it after a writing job. And to get through is so tough. Like, one time,
I went down
there with another writer. And you're in the unemployment office, and you have to call them on the phone. And they're still not answering.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, you're at the unemployment office calling them.
In a different office.
So who's at the office? Nobody?
A person who tells you there's a phone over there.
Yeah, call.
Call it. You're serious. Come down again. He's right.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And you can't get through.
Yeah.
And see, I don't get hired.
And that's work. You earn that money.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You earn that money when you do get through and they send that shit.
Yeah, I was so foolish. First time I went to the unemployment office, I went dressed up because I didn't want them to think I was a bum. Mm-hmm. I went down there and then it was just me and a bunch of people in normal clothes looking at me like, look at this dumb motherfucker.
You're so proud. Look at you.
I'm just trying to find work in my field.
Oh my God. That is super hilarious. Proud. But you had a lot of writing gigs too. You worked for Blackish, yeah?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was good, but...
It's Fishburne. That's my favorite.
Fishburne, yeah, he's dope.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll hire me?
Yeah. Get down there.
Is he white enough?
To do what you want to do on there.
I don't even care.
They got white actors on there.
Perfect.
Oh, no, I meant the writing staff.
On the writing staff?
Is the writing staff all black or all white or mixed?
It's so mixed.
It's all mixed?
It's super mixed.
Is there any girls?
Yeah, there's women... There's mixed race people. There's Indian people on there.
What?
There's, you know, it's
Native
so
American
mixed.
Or India Indians? India, the real deal.
Like East down, Indians.
Ricky. Okay. Like, East Indians.
Like 7-Eleven. I got you. All right. I know where we're at. As long as the race is
now that I have
strong.
A kid, I just feel like I should probably get a job working in the industry. But I don't really have any skill sets.
You can write.
Writer's package.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to have you show me what that is. Right. People always tell me that, but I'm too scared to tell people. I don't know what that means.
Oh,
why are you scared to tell people? I don't know what anything is.
When people
is,
are like, just send a writer's packet, I'm always like, what is that? Like, I've written stuff before. Can I just send that? Or does it have to be in a certain order? Can I just copy someone else's writer's packet?
Whoa. No.
That's how I got through school.
Get PJ on you.
Yeah. Well, I was actually going to copy PJ's writer's packet. So, yeah. Itchy asshole, the skit.
That's true. We used to do itchy asshole bits and then wonder why you didn't get spots at 9:30.
Anyway, you got a lot of spots when I first came here.
Yeah, at the... You know, we did always did the late
morning.
Night shifts.
Yeah,
we always did the late nighters, and then but now it's like he'd be like, "Why aren't I getting on earlier?" I'm like, "Because you're talking about your itchy asshole."
Mm-hmm. I got
15 minutes.
Right. Yeah, but that's a 15-minute bit.
That's so true.
PJ's hilarious.
So, what's your favorite club to work in?
The store.
The store? Yeah, really? Yeah, you're sure. Not just saying that because it's a comedy store podcast?
No, I wouldn't say that.
And we have a gun to your head?
No.
That's so weird.
I'm like, why are you wasting the bullets? And you don't need out there. You get the answer you'd want, you know? Unless you just want to shoot me. You know?
Well,
then
we're
I get
thinking
that.
About it.
Thinking about it. All right.
I don't know
it's
yet.
It's America in 2016. You just don't
America
know.
It is America in 2016.
I was like, I can't even if I put my hands up, it doesn't, I still can get shot.
Dude, this country is so fucked up right now that there is
right
another guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not got, right now.
Another person who got shot, unarmed. There's a terror attack going on in New York
and
City,
Jersey.
And the large headline on CNN was Brad and Angelina break up. It's over.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
Yeah,
this is
that's the first thing I saw this morning.
You know what's sad? I didn't see the Brad and Angelina thing.
Yeah. Well, that's because you obviously stick with the real news.
Yeah. Facebook?
Yeah.
That's weird.
No, I won't get to Facebook for three more days. I was on Twitter. That's today's news.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I got
it's okay, trending so I gotta over
check,
there.
I got to check out my
Twitter. Facebook trends are based on what middle-aged white parents are looking up, so...
And I can't with all the videos. Like, I was just going to video us right now, but I'm like, I don't even know if I can do it because I'm sick of seeing the videos on Facebook.
Of what?
Anything.
The Facebook Live? The
shootings?
What, yeah, the Facebook Lives. It's now like every housewife in America is now the best chef. Right, so she's filming her recipe and putting it out there.
It's out there, man. People know there's a shot they could get famous, so...
Chewbacca mom's doing it. Anyone can do it.
So I'm trying to get Ari in here. I'm going to make him film us. Right. Why not? Let's make him fucking do something.
He already filmed me and Ian the other night. Yeah, I walked backstage. I bring Ian up. I walk backstage. He's just standing
will
there.
Will you film us a little, Ari? You want to do it?
We did terrible improv together.
Mine was terrible too.
He even like, comments after, he's like, well, that we failed at improvising just now. Like,
at least he knew.
Yeah.
Well, we don't improv here at the World Famous
Comedy
Store.
So are we filming or is this a photograph?
I don't know.
We do real shit.
I never know what to do.
Is this Snapchat?
No, just let him film because we're supposed
Instagram,
to put it.
Snapchat? Or?
This is what they're telling us. Like,
should
for
I be
your
Snapchatting?
Podcast, you should be filming things because people don't like to just, you know, they like video. Right. They like pictures.
Not me. I'm old
shiny
school.
Shiny objects.
Kids. Radio.
Grown kids. Grown adults.
Strange, idiotic people out there. Do you have any advice you would give to young comics coming up, aside from don't do it?
Besides don't do it. If you're going to do it, you know.
Bop, bop, do it right.
You know, true that. For real. Like, you could cut your comedy journey in half, basically, if you go over your set before you do a set and after you do your set. And actually, you know. And
think about what worked,
what didn't, what you could do better. You know, you just get funny fast in half the time. Like comics, we it's kind of designed for us where we can be lazy, like a rock band.
Yeah.
Okay. Like they go in a garage and they practice for hours, for weeks, for months before they ever really
perform
do a real
people,
show.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then we just take the opportunity and get on stage and say, I did it.
Yeah.
But if you don't assess like everything, how it went, then you might as well some of the times not even have done it.
Yeah, that's smart. I don't even really think about, and that's something that no one else has mentioned, is
right.
going over your set afterwards.
Right.
But I mean, when I started, I was terrible, as everyone is,
right.
but
right.
I would like practice my set in my room.
That's good.
Quietly, so that my roommates wouldn't hear me. Is he talking to himself in there?
But crowd I'd like, work in your room.
Yeah.
Shit,
where
I
are you
wish.
From? What do you do? What?
What's up with you, soap? Where are you from?
Hey, dirty shoes. What are you doing over there? This was pre-crowd work days. And I, you know, all my jokes were, I'm from Kansas. And it's crazy because Superman's from there.
No, you didn't.
Oh, I had terrible jokes.
No, but it's good to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I started, it helped me a lot. It made it so I was, I guess, just more comfortable trying to tell the jokes then. Because open mics in Kansas City, it's such different than here. Mm-hmm. Like there was like 100 people at your show.
Yeah, I don't.
So like, you felt like you were doing good.
You would record it and then... what you're saying is like record yourself, go over it before you go on, before you go after, well, like things like
that. Like sometimes, like when I'm really in a zone, I'll go to this coffee shop and write and work on stuff before the show. Right?
Got it. I see what you mean. Yeah.
And then I do the set. And sometimes I record the set. And if the times when the recorder said, fuck you, Ian, I know you press play,
but
record,
but
we ain't recording tonight. Mm-hmm. We taking the night off.
Yeah.
Then one terrible mistake I made in my life, I moved to Reseda.
Okay.
And it's a decent drive. So on the way back to Reseda, I would go over the set in my head. You know what I mean? Like who was on before me? What mood they left the crowd in? If I was intimidated, if I wasn't intimidated, what was my first thing I said? And I just would go through every joke and every moment.
Transition.
Smart.
And then that would help. And then in the middle of it, I would come up with a joke sometimes in between two jokes. I said, shit, I just got a free joke.
A free joke.
Amazing. And then sometimes you just make stuff stronger. I did say that wrong. You know, I used to say it like that, or I could say it like this. And you just, boom, by the time you get home, set better.
Right.
You know? So true.
Don't be lazy.
Yeah.
So you're saying don't be lazy and take responsibility for your shit, bitches. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Some people
and then,
go up.
And then also fuck with the internet. Fuck with the internet, you know, make Instagram videos, you know, like these things are like comics shit on them. But why wait for comedy, the comedy industry, to be fair to you?
Yeah, that's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. You know, sometimes you see people with specials and you're like, that should have been my special.
You got to make it happen for yourself.
You
got to
make it happen for yourself. Plus, you know, when I first started show business, it was a stable molecule. Like, it was something you wanted to attach yourself to. But now when I look at show business, I'm just watching show business fall apart every day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's people, like, jumping off
the towers of entertainment, yeah.
Because it's burning, but it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
And the people are still trying to prop it up.
Yeah.
But this shit is not stable.
And there's you should have civilizations starting elsewhere.
Yeah, civilizations starting elsewhere. You should have your feet in both worlds, in show business and outside of show business, on the internet, trying to get out there and do something.
Get other shit going.
And get other shit going. Because if this thing crumbles and falls apart, you want to still be able to make a living.
Sure.
You know, this is not... Like, joining the machine is not the end all be all anymore. If the machine wants you and asks you to join it, keep doing your own shit too.
I feel like this is just advice for me. That's how I'm taking this right now. It's just like,
so I like that he's looking at you and not me.
I gotta start doing this stuff. Because I'm literally
sorry.
The guy who's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not making those internet videos. But now.
But you have some funny ones up. You have some good,
I just started messing up. But you know, it's fun too. Like,
and they're short.
And they're short. It's 1 minute.
Yeah.
And I'm learning stuff because, you know, when I went to college, you know, we did communication. I took film classes, so now I'm using some of that, and I'm learning stuff, and it's fun, and it also helps me with auditions too.
Yeah,
you know?
I shot a web series that I'm ashamed to put out.
Yeah,
and I shouldn't be. I should just put it out. But
see,
I'm afraid.
What people say.
I'm afraid of backlash.
If people don't like it,
I'm gonna troll
learn.
The shit out of that.
I hope
thing.
You do troll it. I get trolls already.
There you go.
But fuck it. So I might as well just throw this.
If you don't have haters, you haven't done anything. Remember that. That was Abraham Lincoln.
I have haters.
Abraham
I have
Lincoln
a lot
said
of haters
that.
Now I'm getting more and more every day.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyway, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for being on, man.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Thanks.
You're amazing.
Definitely a treat. I was more than saddened that our last attempt was taken over, but since you know his family owns the club, it was tough to tell him. Sorry, so we're waiting
Paul,
for you.
Not now. No worries. But I was just impressed that he talked to me that long.
Yeah.
He had some good stories.
Paulie has terrific stories. I mean, mm-hmm. We had some parties here.
Oh shit!
That were unbelievable.
Damn.
We lost our liquor license once over it.
Oh shit!
He did a Halloween party that Brett Bolthouse helped him promote.
Mm-hmm.
And Halloween sucks in LA for comedy.
Right.
Because everyone's down at the festival.
They shut down Hollywood Boulevard and they shut down Santa Monica. So you're screwed. You can't get in. So what they did was they got buses to pick people up at certain destinations and they bus them to the Comedy Store. We closed, no stand-up.
Right.
There was like 5 waitresses. Paulie was like, dude, you got to get sexy outfits. I'm like, okay. So we got a sexy outfit. We went to Playmates. We got like little devil costumes. You know, all the staff came. It was the biggest. Every room was packed. Mm. I don't even know if you were here.
I wasn't here yet.
But in the parking lot, we had bars set up on each side of the parking lot. And because we didn't have a license for that, as I'm dancing, I think I did all the shots I was supposed to sell.
Probably.
There's some pictures with me and a lot of comics and industry people where my nipples are completely out.
Yes.
Somebody should have said something, but no one did.
Nobody should have said anything.
I was in my 20s, I think, maybe early 30s, whatever. So they were like, hey, let him out. Mm-hmm. And
it's Halloween. They thought
no
it was a part
cared.
Of the costume.
Yeah. So, and then all of Paulie's. Like girls, groupies, whatever. Mm-hmm. Nobody was really looking at me anyway, so it was amazing. And I think Freddie Soto was dressed as Tony Clifton. Johnny Sanchez and John Carnally were Punch and
Bobby
from the
Punch and John.
Yeah,
from
that's
Chips.
It. Chips. Yeah. I mean, it was stupid. We had the best time. And then I'm dancing in the OR because we put a dance floor down. I'm like, yeah. And the guy's like, I grabbed this guy because he looked white and nervous. So I was like, what's up, buddy? And I'm trying to like fuck with him. And he's like, where's the manager? And I'm like,
oh,
what's
shit.
Up?
I'm sorry, manager.
Did you say let me put my nipples back? What? But yeah, so he was with the liquor control board, and we lost our license just because of that stupid infraction. We didn't think, we thought because we had the patio, it would be okay. You know, I don't know.
Can't serve alcohol in the
outside.
Parking lots.
Yeah, yeah, you still had to have, but everything was shut down. We weren't using it for.
Yeah, for but, comedy.
So we had a mark for 1 year, and then for I think 10 days we had a not serve liquor. So we did it
for how
over
long?
10 days.
Mm-hmm.
So we did it over Christmas,
mm-hmm.
but. They wouldn't let us tell anybody, so we still had Fat Tuesday with no liquor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know what that's like.
People happy, I'm sure.
Yeah. People
I mean, most people brought their own Hennessy. It's not my business, but for the most part.
It's hilarious. The store was on alcohol parole.
To sell Cokes and Sprites. People were pissed during comedy. But anyway.
I loved when we were talking to Paulie, they'd be like, dude, this next documentary, I got everybody. And they'd be like, oh, damn, who'd you get? He'd be like, Mike Jenkins. I went to high school with him.
Like, oh,
I don't know. That's what everybody means when you're in Hollywood. He made it seem like it was like he interviewed every famous comic ever.
Hilarious.
Dude, Danny Robin, you don't remember him? He was also, I went to middle school with
him. Hilarious.
He did do that.
Anyway, do you have anything you want to promote, Ian?
Get at me on Twitter at Ian Edwards Comic. Same thing for Instagram at Ian Edwards Comic. I'll be at JFL 42 in Toronto.
Oh, nice. Just for Last.
This Just for Last. So that's the September 26th through October 1st.
Okay.
And shit, I love Ari. I like to promote, you know.
You'd like best to
friends.
His
not best friends, but you know, now I got to, it'll be better now that I got to tell him off a little
You've
bit.
You've seen the anger. It makes you feel like closer.
Well, it's good to get to him.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to get even and get to him.
That
you
is
have
nice.
To. It's always good to get even.
Yeah, I got to him. Yeah. And then what else? Soccer Comic Rant podcast on allthingscomedy.com. Check that out if you like soccer.
Yeah, you're part of part of the family. Yeah, yeah. All things. Yeah. So it's good. It's very exciting.
Yeah. And thank you all for having me on. It's exciting. It's fun. I don't even want to leave except that I got a set.
You know? I know.
You
what
got,
time
you
your
got
spot?
A real job to do now.
Mm. What time's your spot?
10:45.
Oh, actually.
And they made it earlier.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. So maybe I'm on at 12 instead of 12:15. Tell
shit.
Chris to come down.
Was that a drop-in? Oh, so I guess 11 o'clock I'm on it.
Is Chris on now?
Was it a known drop-in or a surprise drop-in?
Seems like a surprise because he wasn't on.
Jeff Ross was the only pop-in on the lineup.
Yeah,
so
let's get... Yeah, I'll
we'll
on
get
12.
To the bottom
we'll figure
of this
it out.
11:30. I'll be on 11:30. My 10:45 spot is now 11:30.
I don't even get weekday spots, so could be worse. I'm only a weekend comic, I guess.
It's big, you know, big time.
Well,
your weekend
next Tuesday,
comic.
You're welcome to do the Viper Room with us.
Yeah, listen.
Killer show
lineup.
We're
going to
be
have to shut down that show.
It is
going to
be packed because we have Maria Bamford. So, she's terrific.
Dude, if you think I can't negate Bamford's popularity, you're dead wrong. She'll be like, why is there only three people here? Like, well, Rick Ingram went up earlier.
You think his lack of popularity can't kill her popularity? Yeah. You're wrong.
Completely
you're right,
wrong.
You're right. All right.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. I'm Rick Ingram.
I'm Eleanor Kerrigan.
I'm Ian Edwards. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Ari.
Bye, guys.
Bye.